As the end of the 1920s approached, the Regia Marina faced an important decision. They'd already built two 10,000-ton cruisers armed with 8-inch guns, the Trento class. Initially, the French, their main competition, had also laid down the two Duquesnes, something the Regia Marina was less worried about since the French ships had similar speed and firepower characteristics but almost no protection. The Trentos weren't spectacularly well protected themselves, but they did at least have some armour. However, the French had then followed up with four additional vessels, variously called the Suffren or Foch class. But now, the Italians had options in how to respond. Under the Washington Treaty, both Italy and France were allowed to restart battleship construction earlier than the other powers, allowed two such vessels each, totaling 70,000 tons. The Regia Marina briefly considered splitting this 70,000-ton allowance into three smaller vessels of just over 23,000 tons each, which would be more like heavily protected supercruisers than true battleships, and would then pave the way for full-size capital ship construction later on. However, budget restrictions, as well as not wanting to push France into a battleship building race where the Marine Nationale might just skip straight to 35,000-ton vessels, meant that instead it was decided to build a pair of additional 8-inch armed cruisers. These would become the Zara class. However, the Regia Marina's general staff wanted good speed, protection from 8-inch guns, and a main battery of at least 8 such weapons, and they'd realised when building the Trentos that that particular formula just wasn't possible on 10,000 tons. And so they concluded the solution was just to design the ships that to meet those requirements, whatever displacement that happened to come out at, and just lie about it. A draft was quickly produced for a 12,500-ton ship that was capable of 32 knots with four twin turrets, each carrying 8-inch guns, and 8 inches of belt armour. The Regia Marina, however, failed to tell the Navy Minister of their intentions, and a major argument was only averted when somebody pointed out that 150mm, or 5.9 inches, of armour of the latest tourney type would actually be enough to deal with 8-inch gunfire at reasonable battle ranges. Thus, with this reduction in belt thickness, the Zara and Fiume were ordered to a nominal displacement of 10,000 tons standard, but with the Regia Marina itself paying pretty much zero attention to that last bit. It then became clear that not only were new battleships off the table, but some of the older existing battleships were being retired or put into reserve. This meant there was now an urgent need to match the French cruiser force, and another pair of ships were ordered the following year. Gorizia would be another Zara class, while Bolzano, covered in a separate video, would be a modified version of the Trento class, giving the Regia Marina two squadrons of three cruisers each, with roughly similar capabilities in each squadron. Then, not only did the French lay down a seventh 8-inch cruiser, the Algerie, but the negotiations that led up to the First London Naval Treaty took place, and although France and Italy didn't fully sign into this treaty, the cumulative outcome of all these events was the construction of a fourth Zara class, the Pola. All four ships were armed with 8-inch guns in four twin turrets, a pair superfiring forward and a pair superfiring aft, with 16 dual-purpose 100mm or 3.9-inch guns in eight twin mounts making up the secondary battery, with four mounts on either side, two at the main deck level, and two at upper deck level. No torpedo tubes were included, as these had been dropped during the vague attempts to keep displacement under control. Four single 40mm and eight 50-caliber machine guns in twin mounts completed the anti-aircraft battery. Aircraft were carried and were launched off the bow of the ships, a feature unique to Italian ships at the time. This overall armament would change somewhat during the ship's service, with some of the 100mm mounts being removed in exchange for star shell guns for night fighting, the 40mm guns being replaced by more modern 37mm weapons, and a variety of 20mm guns taking the place of the machine guns. Armour consisted of the 150mm or 5.9-inch belt and 70mm or 2.8 inches of armour on the deck, with the main turrets having the same thickness of face armour as the belt. Speed was 32 knots, thanks to 95,000 shaft horsepower driving two screws. Due to the staggered nature of the class's construction, true displacement varied per ship, but it averages at around 11,500 tons standard, give or take a couple of hundred tons, depending on the ship in question, at the time of their commissioning. Also, due to the staggered nature of their construction, there are some key visual differences. The first three ships have long sections of sloped hull adjacent to the forward guns, which were designed to give the secondary guns a better arc of fire ahead, but this was mostly dropped on Pola. The first two ships had relatively vertical funnels. Gorizia had a more pronounced flare at the base of her funnels, and Pola had a massively extended superstructure that partly wrapped around the forward funnel, which was also flared. Laid down in 1929 for the first two and 1930 and 31 for the latter two, the ships were launched between 1930 and 31 and commissioned in 1931 and 1932. Prior to World War II, their main claim to fame was operating on notionally neutral patrols during the Spanish Civil War, although their blocking of a Republican naval squadron showed Italy's true allegiances at one point. During this period, Gorizia suffered a large explosion in her aviation fuel tank and was forced to put into Gibraltar for emergency repairs, where British naval architects took one look at her lines, worked out the overall underwater volume, and determined that she was far in excess of her officially declared 10,000-ton displacement. During World War II, the class initially operated quite successfully. Although they didn't score any kills, they had a habit of showing up and forcing British cruiser forces, which were made up mostly of light cruisers, to withdraw in the face of long-range and accurate 8-inch gunfire, which the light cruisers' 6-inch and 5.25-inch guns couldn't match. However, while withdrawing under British air attack in March 1941, Pola was hit and immobilised by a torpedo from a swordfish. Zara and Fiume were detached to help her as the rest of the fleet staggered off with Vittorio Veneto, and as a result, all three heavy cruisers ended up being ambushed and sunk by Admiral Cunningham's battleships during the night element of the Battle of Cape Matapan. This left Gorizia suddenly the sole survivor. She continued to see action, and although still not hitting anything, she was also not hit, at least at sea. Then in 1943, she was damaged by an Allied air attack while she was in harbour, although the same attack managed to sink the Trieste outright. Subsequent to the Italian armistice, the Germans seized the ship when they occupied La Spezia, where she'd been moved for repairs. In 1944, Italian special forces, now working on behalf of the Allies, tried to sink both her and the Bolzano to stop the Germans using them to block the harbour. But Gorizia mostly survived this attack as well, being found after the war half-submerged alongside a pier. But although she was technically salvageable, the costs of doing so were deemed too high to get her in a state fit to return to service, and the wreck was therefore sold for scrap in 1947.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.